Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this?
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Here we go. Andre, put some DJ skills to work.
Y'all not ready. I'm gonna hook it up one time. It's gonna be nuts, man, but we're gonna have some fun. Welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th man on this Wednesday, October the 11th. We are ready to kick this out like we always do. Before we kick this off, it's been an interesting weekend, but we're always here with your boys, and let's get this party started. So I'm Andre. Let's kick in with my other fellows up, Mr. JQ, Jaquan Jenkins. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I can't complain outside of you stealing my players, but, you know, that's all right. We're going to make it work. Like Rob said, we're going to make it do what it do.
We can do what it do. Oh, man. Mr. Rob Ford, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, doing great, man. You know, no complaints. Ready to make it do what it do, man. You know, got a little Southwestern food in, which you have to do when you're in Houston. Hey, let's make it do what it do. Purple Knights won homecoming. LSU's won a squeaker. Went 5-0 in fantasy. Life is good.
Man, hey, that's what's up, man. I can't wait to talk about fantasy, too, as well. Thank you for reaching out to Rob. We got all the messages on Yahoo and all that fun stuff, too. We just wrapped up our fantasy draft, even though JQ is a little upset about the picks, but it means that, you know, great players and great folks think alike, bro. That's what I'm going to say, man, because you're on the same wavelength, man. And you sold a couple of players I had, too, man. So just keep that in mind as well. So it's all good. But without further ado, let's get this party started. We got a lot of topics to discuss. I was hoping to get some topics in from last week, but I guess we will see how this turns out. I'm going to hold off on taking calls because, again, unless it's like Big Mike or something like that, it's been kind of interesting, so we may hold off on that. But, again, if you want to reach out to us, we'll see how that plays out. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, go to Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/talkingsports with 12th Man, or if you put in 12th Man Sports, you will find us as well. All right, gentlemen.
Come on, don't hold off taking calls, man. Everybody out there is not idiots.
Well, I don't know. We seem to be on the idiot role. We got to be like Puffy.
I was going to say, just to kind of hold off for like 1 week. Just for like 1 week. Let's let us get through the show, man. So, again, you know, and your boy may call through. You know, I'm not going to talk about that. It's been a kind of a low-key week, man. So, I appreciate it if we kept it like that as well. But anyway... We do got a lot of things to talk about. So right off the rip, let's talk about what's currently happening right now with Major League Baseball. The playoffs are in full gear. We're kind of watching this right now, the Yankees and Indian matchup. And, Rob, I know you want to kick off with that too, sir, and your thoughts about the game and how the season is progressing, sir.
Well, we're getting ready to go to the top of the ninth inning. The Yankees are holding on to a 3-2 lead here, and it's game five of the best of five series with the Indians here. So, hey, this is what you play for right here. So this is big. Didi Gregorio with two home runs here in this game. So, man, I tell you what, I thought last week on the show I predicted the series to go five, but I predicted the Indians to win. But I hope I'm wrong. I'm hoping the Yankees pull this one out.
They were my preseason pick. The Indians were to win it all. So, you know, and going up 2-0 and then potentially losing three straight is a mighty big letdown off of a team that won 22 games in a row and just looked almost unstoppable heading into this postseason. So, you know, I'm not a Yankee fan, but you got to give them a lot of credit for being resilient, being on the precipice of being eliminated and finding a way to keep winning games and on the verge of winning this game five.
Yes, sir. Like I said, I'm sure this is not what was expected for the Yankees. So, I think eventually, you know, the season will eventually come to an end. But you do got to give them credit, as both you guys said, as far as the run and definitely enjoy it because this is a good young team, and you can't wait for the future as well. And speaking of that, yeah, so what about the future, Rob? I mean, apparently it does look bright, and this is clearly unexpected for sure, sir.
Well, yeah, I didn't think the progression was going to take place this soon. But I guess if you're the Yankees, man, the future's now as well. Hey, you're this far in the playoffs. You can't think about the future right now. Right now, you're competing for world championship. You got an opportunity to go into the ALCS here with a victory tonight. But when you look at their roster, of course, Aaron Judge. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's a potential AL MVP as a rookie, even though he struggled somewhat here in the playoffs, except for game one. But I'm sorry, the first game when he beat the Twins. But in this series against Cleveland, he struggled. But still, you know, he's 25 years old. He's an MVP candidate as a rookie. He got Gary Sanchez in his second season. He's had a very impactful sophomore season. Luis Severino, you're looking at a guy who's 23 years old. You hope that he's one of your key clogs as far as the starting pitcher of the future. Greg Bird, of course. Didi, who we just talked about with the two homers, Jordan Montgomery, another 24-year-old. Gleyber Torres, end of the year is MLB.com number one prospect. So you got another guy that's coming up through the ranks as a 20-year-old, and you still got Chapman hopefully going to close out this game as well and have one of the best young bullpens in the game too. Probably still can use some improvement in his starting pitching. And some, you know, CC Sabathia getting up there in age as well.
Yeah, he finally put that drink down. Yeah, and Gary Sanchez is well behind the plate. So yeah, the Yankees have a you know, they've got a good squad, and I mean, and they've got the money. You know, being in New York and being the team in New York, really, if you want to be honest about it, with all the history they have. So if they decide to, you know, trade one of those guys for, like you said, a starting pitcher, or just go out and buy one, so to speak, in free agency, they have that ability to do that as well. So you're not going to keep them down for long. Same with the Red Sox, you know, they got ousted. You know, you're going to have those blue bloods, especially to have that money and that long tradition. They're going to be around, you know, pretty much more often than not. So I never really expected the Yankees to go too long to be in the Dodgers without getting back up. It's just not going to happen with the kind of resources they have.
Yeah, but we hate the Red Sox,
though.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the point of, you know, those big market teams like the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Red Sox, you know, they're going to find a way.
Yeah. Can't be a
Yankee
fan and root for the Red Sox.
No,
yeah,
you can't.
Yeah, at all. Did you hear about the trade that was almost made between the Braves and Yankees about 3 years ago? Did you hear about that? Did I tell you about that trade? Did you guys know about this?
Like,
you guys want to hear about this? It was interesting because and this would have definitely changed the whole shape of both the Yankees and the Braves organization. So this 3 years ago, remember, the Braves were thinking about, you know, obviously going through their overhaul. They were talking to the Yankees about a 10-player blockbuster trade, right? So this was, again, this was like 3 years ago. At the time, just think about how different it would have been. So at the time, the Braves were going to send Jason Hayworth, Andrelton Simmons, Melvin Upton, Chris Johnson, David Carpenter to the Yankees. The Yankees were going to send to the Braves Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez, Luis Severino, Ian Clark, and Manny Valenzuela. But the Yankees didn't do it. Can you imagine how that would have changed the franchises right then and there? So,
yeah,
you know, obviously,
I know the Yankees are glad they didn't do
things.
It.
I know, but you know, who knows? You know what would happen? It's interesting how that was literally kind of interesting. It was being discussed, and they didn't pull the trigger, believe it or not, or you know, whatever happened. But that was crazy that that was going to happen. So I remember I was digging that up because they were like, oh, you know, and I think before obviously. He was drafted before the Braves pick anyway, too, or something happened to that, too. So it's interesting, too, because talking about the draft, too. But just some of the things that actually happened, which is pretty, pretty crazy. So I don't know if you guys want to comment on that. That was pretty crazy as well.
Well, Yankees need some insurance runs.
Yeah, and I know the Braves are kicking themselves about the Andrelton Simmons trade right now because he has had a really fantastic year for the Angels this year. So,
yeah,
you know, like they say, could have, should have, would have. But, you know, nobody saw him having that kind of year in L.A. He kind of just bounced back. And it remains to be seen if he can keep that going, you know, moving forward for the Angels. But, yeah, that you're right. That is definitely a franchise-altering trade. And I would guess it was probably the Yankees that pulled out because they didn't want to give up on those young guys too soon. And it worked out for them.
Yeah. But, see, you didn't really expect it to happen that soon because I think at the time the Yankees were probably thinking, hey, this let's kind of make a quick, you know, move, because they weren't sure if they wanted to go to the farm system or kind of keep it going too. So whoever decided to veto that, that was pretty interesting. Or I don't really know who pulled out, but it was just one of those dodging the bullets too. So, Rob, I don't know if you want to comment on that as well, sir.
Well, I mean, as a Yankee fan, obviously you got to be thankful that it wasn't done. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, still, you don't know. I mean, you don't know how Hayward would have, you know, played with the Yankees or vice versa too. And again, how that's the culture, altering the culture of history too. But you never know how something about, you know, playing in, you know, in New York would have probably, if you, you know, I don't know.
It
would
have killed him because
he's
not built for that spotlight. He needs to go somewhere in the Midwest where he can fly on his radar. That Yankee media is unforgiving. Can you imagine him and that base running blunder the other day in Chicago, if that had happened in New York?
Well,
oh, man, listen. Yeah. They would have ate him alive.
Different coaching on that, too, but I'm with you. I get you there. All right.
Sure,
all good.
They eating Joe Girardi alive, and they still in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's all good. But still, like I said, we'll talk about that. All right, switching up to the National League. Are the Dodgers the favorite in the National League, JQ?
Man, listen. I mean, Darvish looked really good, and you put him with Kershaw, that's a mean 1-2 punch. If Alex Cobb can keep it going as well. And that lineup, bro, that lineup is just ridiculous. I mean, there's not really any easy outs in that lineup when you're talking about, you know, Puig and Seager and Bellinger, and they just and Turner, they just are so deep in that lineup, it's going to be hard to knock them off. I mean, I don't know. I think it's really on them, because, I mean, they got off to such a hot start. I believe they were 42-8 at one point over a 50-game stretch. And just think about that, 42-8 over a 50-game stretch. And then they kind of came back to earth a little bit, because you just can't stay hot. But when you do that, it's not a flash in the pan. I mean, it takes a lot of talent and work to go 42-8 over a 50-game span. So, I think they are, because, you know, you get to the series, and if you can get Darvish and Kershaw to go maybe pitch effectively on short days rest, and you get four starts out of them, I mean, you know, that might be all it takes. You know what I mean? And you throw in somebody else behind them to try to get something going. But I think they are. I mean, I never count that Cubs team out, because Rizzo and Bryant, I think, are just clutch. And I'm not sure if Arrieta can keep that up, and Lester sometimes has his ups and downs. But that Dodgers team is formidable. That's why I get back to that point when, you know, we talk about the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Red Sox. You know, they have that lineage and that tradition, and they've got those fat pockets. They just, it's going to be hard to keep them down if they just don't make bonehead mistakes in the front office.
Mm. Yeah, what are your thoughts, Rob?
Well, I totally agree. As JQ mentioned, Kershaw and Darvish, man. But not only is their starting pitching is top of the notch, I mean, their bullpen has been phenomenal. I mean, I don't even think they have to push those starters as long as you would normally have to. I mean, their bullpen, from starting pitching to the bullpen, and as JQ mentioned, the lineup, to me, they're the hands-on favorite in the National League, and just might be the hands-on favorite to win it all. Now, Kershaw has struggled over the years in the playoffs, and this Dodgers team has been here before, so let's see if they can finally get over the hump. So that's going to be interesting. But on paper, they certainly look like the team to beat.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Good call. We'll talk about who we think for the AL as well, too, but we'll keep it going here. And so we're going to switch gears as always, unless you wanted. If you have anything else to say about the playoffs, you know, let us know. And the biggest thing, I guess, was happening in New Orleans as far as Adrian Peterson being traded to the Cardinals. I don't think Rob was crying, you know, even though I saw some posts about that. But pictures of him like the Michael Jordan meme, you know, don't let the little hit you. But, yeah, the impact of this was – I think there was more to what we expected with Adrian Peterson, that little, you know, compensation with Sean Payton. But, again, this is clearly a bad signing from the Saints. And, Rob, what are your thoughts about the breakdown of this trade, sir?
Well, I think the thing you got to realize here, you know, the way the NFL conducts business, for the NBA, they have their draft before the free agency, and the NFL is just the opposite. They have their free agency before the draft. So most NFL teams approach their business by going out and filling their needs in free agency prior to the draft. The Saints did that by signing Peterson to hopefully have a 1-2 punch with Ingram. But, like I said, free agency is before the draft, and then in the draft you get a guy like Alvin Kamara, who's been phenomenal for the Saints. And so, which means that Peterson becomes a third back in that offense through all the off-season workouts, through training camp, through all the competition. He fell to third place, third-string running back. So Ingram and Kamara is your 1-2 punch for the Saints, which means you have limited carries for Peterson. The last performance when the Saints played Miami and London, Peterson had 4 carries for 4 yards, which 1 yard a carry is just not going to cut it. Arizona, of course, have lost David Johnson for a considerable part of the season. He won't be back till December. And you got Andre Ellington, who's actually been playing pretty well. But, you know, you want a guy that can come in and spell you and be able to have that 1-2 punch so he can possibly go to Arizona now and be that number 2 back as opposed to the third back with the Saints. So, and the Peyton Peterson thing is blown out of proportion. There's no disgruntled relationship there at all. It was just an opportunity to give him a chance to go play, and the Saints was got an opportunity to get a draft pick in return.
Cardinals cut to Chris John too as well, but interesting that news as well. So go ahead, JQ, your thoughts on this, man.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, I don't even know if he's going to be behind Ellington, because I think what it's shown with Ellington is that he just can't hold up pounding as a 20-plus carry back. He's just not that guy. He's more of a, you know, returner, third down, you know, when you want to go into 2-minute offense kind of back. But he's not a first or second consistently getting done between the tackles kind of back without getting hurt. So then they've already said that Adrian Peterson is starting, and they, you know, you pretty much knew that was going to happen when they cut Chris Johnson to make the roster move for Adrian Peterson. But that Arizona offensive line is awful with a capital A. So it's not like he's going to a situation where Dallas, you know, where you get like a Dallas offensive line or something like that. He just is going to have his toes. It's like, oh, Adrian Peterson still got it. You see what he's doing? I think it's almost a lateral move. I think, you know, that they just wanted to see if he has something left and if he could, you know, get that 20-plus carries or 20 carries that he's used to getting the rhythm, so he can still show some of those old glimpses. Time will tell. I'm with Rob. I think, you know, that ship is kind of sailed for him. I think Arizona's going to find out. But from Arizona's perspective, like you said, with David Johnson hurt, and, you know, Chris Johnson is just no longer a CJ2K. He's like CJ500. It's just – it's not going to get it done. So they just – you know, they roll the dice. It's a 6-round pick. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, you know, I mean, not everybody's Tom Brady. You know, where your 6-round pick, you know – is going on to be a Hall of Fame stud. I mean, you feel like, you know, that's worth to take the gamble role on Adrian Peterson if you're Arizona. And if you're New Orleans, you know, maybe you use that 6-round pick with another pick to move up to go get somebody else like a defensive player in the draft. So I think it's a win-win for both the teams. I think it alleviates a lot of headaches in New Orleans, and it lets everybody go to the spots they should be in without any acrimony. And if you're Arizona, it's a Hail Mary. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
There it is.
And I'll just speak from the Saints' perspective on this. When Peterson is in the game for the Saints, they're very predictable. When Ingram and Kamara is in the game, they're unpredictable, which I think suits them from an offensive standpoint.
Let me ask you a question, Rob, as a Saints fan. And just real fast, do you think now that Kamara will be the back, or you still think it's going to be Ingram with Kamara sprinkled through there? Because like you said, he was fantastic against Miami and London. And I mean, Ingram is good for what he can do, but I think Kamara can almost do almost all of it. I don't know if he's not big like Ingram to pound in between the tackles, but in terms of touches, what do you think that's going to kind of break out into? You think it's going to be like a 50-50, or do you think at some point here Kamara is going to overtake it and then Ingram is going to be more of a speller?
Well, I think it's going to be close to a 50-50. Sean Payton is not going to wear out one back. He's never done that. But it's still going to be closer to a 50-50 mix. And Sean Payton likes to use both of those guys in the running game, likes to use both in the screen game. But are you going to see Ingram lined up as a receiver like Kamara does sometime? No, you won't see that. But I think from a snap count perspective, I think they'll be a pretty even mix. But when either one of those backs in the game, the Saints is pretty multiple offensively, which they were pretty – they couldn't be multiple when Peterson was in the game.
Mm-hmm. All righty then. Good call. That's the Saints talk from me. Let's move on here to the next topic here. Let's talk about this. And Alex Smith, gentlemen, you talk about somebody that's been playing really well. And you know, I don't say sure if it's good coaching or just combination of him trying to hold off his job from Pat Mahomes, you know, competition, if you will. But he is playing at a high, high level. And tell me your thoughts. Is he going to be an early MVP candidate? And I'm going to kick it off with you, JQ. What are your thoughts, man?
I think he has to be. I mean, he's the quarterback. Listen, this is a quarterback-driven league, and he's the quarterback playing at a high level for the last undefeated team in the league. He has to be your front runner right now. I mean, if you know, I think Aaron Rodgers is definitely nipping at his heels with, you know, those back-to-back comebacks against Cincinnati and against Dallas. But at the same time, I mean, well, I get not back-to-back because you had Chicago, tomato can in the middle. But, I mean, Alex Smith, like you said, I think he sees Pat Mahomes. He said, okay, y'all think I'm done? Okay. You know, give me Kareem Hunt and let him do what he's doing, and then I'm going to use, you know, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and if you let me open it up a little bit, and he's taking more shots down the field than he normally does, which has been more surprising for me. But I think he feels, you know, and I like it. I like his competitiveness. I think he feels like, and rightfully so, that, you know, his job was on the line, and not just on the line after this year. It could have potentially been on the line during this year because Mahomes was good in the preseason, and you see that Glennon didn't take that long to get replaced by Trubisky, and you see that Travis didn't get that long to be traced by Watson. So if you're Alex Smith and you're watching that, to be able to see that and recognize it and elevate your game and play at that level, you've got to give him a lot of credit for that. I mean, I can't say much more about Alex Smith. His start to the season has been fantastic. He's got to be the front runner right now.
Yes, good call on that, man. Watching the way everything's happened in the league. I ain't going to lose my job. Go ahead, Rob.
Anything you got to remember about Alex Smith, this guy was the number one pick in the draft once before.
Oh, yep.
I mean, the talent is there. He still has the wheels. He can still run. And one thing that I've been impressed with Alex Smith this year is his completion percentage on the run this year. He's been extremely accurate on the run this year. Almost, you know, I hate to kind of, I'm afraid to say this, but almost Aaron Rodgers-esque a little bit. The way he's been, you know, completing the ball at a high level, and the accuracy he's been showing on the run this season. So a phenomenal job. Obviously, you got to give the coaching staff for the Chiefs a lot of credit. It could be a combination of Mahomes pushing them. It's the coaching. But like I said, the talent has always been there. You're talking about a guy who was number one pick in the NFL draft. Came out of the same year with Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers was picked 24th overall. Alex Smith was picked number one overall. So the talent is always there. But this is obviously thus far the best season of his career thus far. There's no question about that. As of now, he's definitely in the running for the MVP. We'll have to see if he can do it for a full 16-game season.
Yeah, playing well. And I will tell you the ironic thing about that. I mean, we talked about him being the number one pick, but still – clearly, though, if you look back at that draft, I mean, I don't know if it was just due to the system that he was in, you know, because we're still like, The 49ers actually would have been better drafting Aaron Rodgers, ironically. Mike McCarthy was actually on that staff, which is interesting how he ended up going
to the
Packers and getting Aaron. Yeah, which is one of those things, too. But, you know, again, if you're the 49ers, you know, for him to wait that long, you knew that he was a huge Joe Montana fan. So, obviously, things worked out the way they worked out, but I'm sure the 49ers would love to have Aaron Rodgers right now versus that too. So, but part of the conversation, something I wanted to kind of throw out there too as well, but good call on that. And like you said, I love the fact that, and just to kind of side note about the Bears, you talk about, I don't know if you feel for Glennon because he's just not getting good opportunities or he just sucks. I mean, I don't know what to say about that, man, because again, you know, I don't think each situation is a little different for like Deshaun Watson. You know, Tom Savage wasn't really a guy. I mean, you know that the Texans drafted Watson. We didn't think he'd be in there that soon, but they're like, hey, the future is now. Let's make it happen. And he's been doing fantastic. So for Glenn and Trubisky, I don't think Trubisky is kind of ready. You know, maybe not. But now they're like, hey, we might as well throw it in there. But, you know, I just kind of feel for Glenn because, you know, this dude is, you know, he looks like Tarzan, apparently playing like Jane. But I just don't know if he's getting the right opportunity for coaching. That's a whole other conversation, too. So, you know,
nah,
I don't know. And Alex Smith, like you said. I know he's bad. It seems like I don't know.
He
I mean,
bad,
again,
but
I know
goes
the body
about
was
Alex
there, but
Alex Smith saw the competition and got better, and Mike Glennon saw the competition and shrunk. I mean, I don't know what else you can say about it.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. I mean,
and he whined and complained like a little, you know what? And then when they drafted Mr. Trubisky instead of fighting for his job,
Well, you know what? I'm going to give him a pass on that piece. I'm going to give him a pass.
You know, it's just like when Drew Brees on the Chargers drafted Phillips Rivers, Drew Brees' game went to a whole other level.
And, yeah, but I'm going to give Glennon a pass because the Bears did him dirty. I don't know if you remember, but they assigned him. And then they told him to come to the draft party so he could meet the season ticket holders and the fans and be somewhat the face of the franchise after signing him to that deal. And then they move up at the party and draft Trubisky. So I can see him being a little pissed, like, come on, y'all. Really, you invite me to the party, and then you draft a quarterback. You know, you move up to draft a quarterback. Like, I can see where that mess with him, but he's still got to respond better than that. But any one of us would be sitting there like, look at these mofos. Are y'all serious? Is that y'all brought me down here for this?
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you.
Outside Chicago treatment,
yeah. Yeah, man, that's dirty.
It's dirty. But it is tough because you hope he would have elevated his game too, but it just kind of sucks because you don't know if it's just because circumstances. I mean, you know, I don't know if they've got the best weapons. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's happening with the Bears. Like, so I'm not a Bears fan. So, again, it's just one of those situations that seems like Glenn, you know, the quarterbacks that are see people that are always getting bad situations and never can come out of that. That's what it seems like with Glenn because, again, each situation has never been the best, you know. So, again, it is what it is. All right. We'll move on here. Let's talk about the next thing, the Patriots and Tom Brady. I think this is Rob's topic. Go ahead, Rob, about this, man.
Oh, man, you gotta state the topic so our listeners can hear it.
Man, should the Patriots be worried about Tom Brady's durability? You know how I feel about Tom Brady right about now. Go, bro. I'm kind of joking, but it's all good.
You know what? I mean.
No, you ain't.
Tom Brady's 40 years old, so if you are the Patriots, you have to be concerned. You have to monitor it, and that's why you still have Garoppolo on your roster. And I think it's time. Oh, your Yankees taking a 4-2 lead, getting some insurance runs here. Let's go. Let's see. Is it about to be 5-2? Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. This joke is...
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Well, we got to update our listeners on the game. But, yeah, getting back to that situation. Yeah, if you're the Patriots, you have to be smart. The guy is 40 years old. Is it time to panic? Absolutely not. He's still your starting quarterback. And I'm pretty sure he's going to be your starting quarterback this season. And he's still a good chance to be your starting quarterback next season as well. It's still early in the season. I think the Patriots are still trying to find themselves. Offensively, I don't think he and Brandon Cooks is totally in sync yet as well. So it's just going to take some time. So I wouldn't be overly concerned just yet if you're a Patriots fan on the durability of Tom Brady. But obviously, when you start getting close to 40, in his case, he is 40, so you definitely do have to monitor the situation really closely. And I'm sure they are, and that's why Garoppolo is still on the roster.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, I'm going to approach it from a different standpoint. I would say they should be because, I mean, Tom Brady, not so much his age, but that offensive line is getting Tom Brady murdered. And real quiet, like he's taking a lot of hits early in the season. He's not used to taking. He's used to having more of a solid offensive line, used to having the security blanket and Edelman underneath there and before then, you know, Welker. And they get away sometimes from Gillisley and trying to pound a little bit and making people – back off because you have Tom Brady and trying to sneak more of that power run game in there, and they're still trying to play it like they've got a really good offensive line. And the offensive line has been really suspect. So if I was a fan of the Patriots, which, of course, I am not, but if I was a fan, I would be sitting there worried about not so much him in terms of his age and what's happening, but the offensive line is just getting him beat around. It's not always just sacks. He's getting hit so much more than I've ever seen him get hit, you know, in the past decade up there in Foxborough. So – to me, that would concern me. What are we going to do as a team to say, okay, this is where we are with our offensive line. How do we scheme around not getting hit so much? And you see them come out in games and do that, a lot of that short passing games, and they work and run, and then they kind of get away from it trying to take those shots to Brandon Cooks, like Rob said, and they're not really on the same page. But it would be easier for the game on the same page if he had consistent time to go down the field. But he just really doesn't have it right now. That offensive line, I know Bill Belichick is hot with that defense, as he should be, but they can't be happy with the way the offensive line is performing. I'm shocked they haven't brought in more offensive linemen to sign just to bring some competition, like, you know, Belichick likes to do, to get, to you know, light some fire under some, you know, what's like, hey, what y'all have happening is not getting it done.
Yeah. Right.
Terrible.
Terrible. All right, who's playing better right now, Rob? Aaron Rodgers or Alex Smith?
Man, I tell you what. Obviously,
yeah,
I know we're going to get down to our top five teams in the league here shortly. And, you know, I'm sure all of us are going to have the Chiefs number one. And so it's hard to say anybody's playing better than Alex Smith right now. But then, but it's also hard for me to say anybody's playing better than Aaron Rodgers either. I'm just going to call it a draw for the time being. Both of them are playing extremely well.
Wow.
And, you know, in my
that's
personal opinion, those are the top two teams in the NFL right now. I have the Chiefs one, and I have the Packers at the number two position right now. And so, I mean, yeah, it's hard for me to say, but the Chiefs are playing phenomenal football on both sides of the football. Even though the Texans got them for 34 points, the Chiefs has a pass rush. They're getting it done. They're getting it done in all three phases of the game, and Alex Smith is having a phenomenal season. So I'm just going to call it a draw for now.
You know what? I give him a hard time, but he's right. And the reason why I say that he's right is because they're doing it in two separate ways. If you want to get a slight nod to Kansas City because they're undefeated, I can go down. Alex Smith because Kansas City is undefeated, I can agree with that argument as well. But if you watch the two teams play, Alex Smith has a better defense. And outside of Deshaun Watson, who lit him up, don't get me wrong, but for the most part of the season, they've been playing fantastic defense. So Alex Smith hasn't had the need to feel to keep coming with these, you know, miracle comebacks and the whatnot, where Aaron Rodgers has. You know, I was there. Cincinnati was up 21-7, come back and win in overtime, you know, being down, you know, when Dak runs in Dallas and coming back and winning. Not just to tie it, but to win it, you know, at the end. So getting it done in two separate manners, depending on what their team needs for that piece. So you can do a 1A, 1B, and I don't think, you know, anybody's really going to get mad outside of the fact that Aaron Rodgers has MVPs and Super Bowls, and he's going to get the name cachet of how dare you ever put Alex Smith in the same sentence with Aaron Rodgers in terms of who's playing better. But if we're talking about in a vacuum for the start of this season, I mean, you're talking about like a neck-and-neck finish at the, you know, Kentucky Derby between two just absolute stud horses. They are right there. You can argue for either one.
Nice. He done messed up at A-Ron. It's good times, man. Good times, man. All right. That's good calls on both. And, yeah, like you said, the only reason why you get the nod is because of how the Chiefs are playing. And good call, JQ, about the defense being great. And the Chiefs are 5-0. They're still the only undefeated team in the NFL. So, good call. And then, you know, R-E-L-A-X, relax. That's what Aaron Rodgers has always been saying. You know, even though we gave him a quick loss. But it's all good. We're still going to hold our thing, and we're going to show some love to Aaron Rodgers too, man. So a good call. Good call as well. All right, let's move on here. Let's talk about Ben Roethlisberger here and the next topic that we're going to start off with you. I know how JQ loves talking about the Steelers. What does the future hold for Ben Roethlisberger?
Especially when they look bad, he loves talking about them.
I was loving that Jacksonville beatdown, loving it for no good reason at all. I don't have no reason to root for Jacksonville ever a day in my life, but I was rooting hard. You know, he's and it's the thing to go back. We talk about with Tom Brady and his Ben Roethlisberger has absorbed so much punishment over the course of his career, and there's only so many hits you can take, even when you're that big. Think about what we're talking about now with Cam Newton and taking those hits in his young career and how they have to change his style of play to give him that longevity.
Yeah.
Big Ben has been doing that for a long time. And not so much in the same way in terms of running, but saying hold on to that ball in the pocket, trying to get those receivers a chance to get down the field. And he's absorbed a lot of blows. He's had a lot of injuries. So they may be catching up with him. But, you know, it's one of those things where I feel like that's a little bit of a rope-a-dope. I don't think they really took Jacksonville seriously, to be honest. They were in Pittsburgh. They figured it was going to come in there, and Jacksonville was going to be a tomato can, and Jacksonville showed up and played much better than they thought they were. I would look for Pittsburgh to bounce back this week and for Ben to right some of those wrongs. I'm not going to put the dirt on him quite yet. But I think he's nearing that point, but he ain't there yet.
Let's go, Cleveland. Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's time to close that book on Ben Roethlisberger's career yet. He had a bad game, and I think we have to wait and see how he responds going forward. But, you know, he had a bad game. All the greats have had those from time to time. And give him some time to – Let's see what he can do to rectify the situation, and I'm sure the Steelers are going to give him an opportunity to do that. But they definitely, it was just a bad game, a horrible game at that. Two pick sixes. Leonard Fournette ran wild on him. And so, I mean, it's they give him an opportunity to fix the problems. And I don't think we're going to see that. I don't think we've seen the last of Ben Roethlisberger for sure.
Yeah, we weren't saying it's the last of Miami, too. We were saying, like you said, just one of those, you have one of those tough situations, tough game. I really think they took the Jacksonville Jaguars kind of lightly because, you know, I don't know. I don't know how you do that. They just went in there like, we got them. So,
yeah, you can't take anybody lightly in the NFL. That's the mistake
you
right
can't,
there.
You can't.
Well, you can take
Cleveland
lightly.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, the way that they came out, it was like, well, this is Jacksonville, and Jacksonville had a different agenda. So, clearly, some things were off, too. So, they didn't play up to the competition at the time. So, I'm not saying that, you know, we should do that. But I mean, that's the way it seemed like. But, again, that's a good learning.
They
took
Jacksonville
so.
Lightly. Shame on them. I mean, Jacksonville went out there and put 40-some points on the Baltimore Ravens and just destroyed them. What, 40-something to 7? 44-7 a couple of weeks ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, this is a team that has a few nice wins this season. So, I mean, if the Steelers took Jacksonville lightly, shame on them. That's a huge mistake. That's a team with some talent on that defense Jacksonville has. I mean, you got a top-notch rookie running back now on the team.
Yep.
Blake Bortles still struggling. The offensive line is a lot better for Jacksonville than it was last season. I mean, that's a good football team. And Pittsburgh couldn't see that on film. You got to blame the coaches.
Well, fair enough. But I'm saying, I mean, you got to say you weren't clearly, like, scared of Blake Bortles at first. You're like, yeah, Blake Bortles, you know. But,
still
again,
not.
It's a team, I'm just saying. But, you see what I'm saying, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And we might have picked the wrong team in the AFC South because, you know, I know I was guilty of being really high on the Titans and they have not lived up to that. But just a last point about Ben, he's also been talking about retiring for the past couple of off seasons. So that also gives you a clue into his makeup in terms of where he feels like he is physically as well. Because when you're sitting on that kind of thing with multiple championships under your belt and you're still looking around at your draft class, Eli is also taking a step down and people are talking about Rivers only has a little while left as well. He's looking at it, I think, as his own mortality as well. So I think he's on that downslope, and I think he recognizes it, and that's why he's contemplating retirement. But, you know, I feel like all the really good, the great quarterbacks hit that point, and then before they go out, they kind of go out in a blaze of glory and give you a glimpse of back to how they used to be when they was younger for like a 4, 5, 6-game stretch. I think we're going to see that, as much as I hate that. But I think we're going to see that because that pride shows up, and he just didn't forget how to play quarterback. I'm like Rob. He just had a disgusting, awful game. It happens, especially sometimes it happens when you get older, but I think he bounces back.
Yeah.
Yep.
You have to wonder where, like Jay Hughes just said, you have to wonder where his mind is, especially somebody who's talking about retirement. Does he still enjoy playing the football game? Does he still enjoy playing? And, that's a big question mark. And so time will tell as the season goes on, but obviously if he continues to play like that the rest of the season, then this will be his last season, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah.
We got about 6.5 minutes here, and nice for bringing up Eli and the Giants. That's a whole other conversation, JQ, because you talk about a team that's on a downward spiral, man. That's just nuts, man.
Same draft
class,
you know,
thing too.
It happens.
Yeah,
they don't have no wide receivers to play.
I know,
they're not
even
pick
we
up,
might be able to try out. You got
Cruz,
T.O. and Chad talking about, let me play. I'm like, come on, man. If y'all don't go sit down and be cool, they are not signing you two.
Down.
What is wrong with y'all?
They're right. Running hills again.
Oh, man. They're not even going to sign Victor Cruz, bro. They're not even signing Victor Cruz from what I heard, man, which is kind of crazy, too, man. So that just kind of shows you where they're at.
Well, Victor Cruz is done.
He's done.
I know
he's
done.
Yeah, he's done.
But it was one of those things.
Too,
I mean,
no more.
Yeah, no more
salsa
dancing.
Here we go.
Over. That knee is messed up.
Well, I'm just saying it's one of those situations, too. But all good for the fans. They were clamoring. He's like, yeah, it's over. But anyway, again, 5.5 minutes here. We got to talk about the top five teams. Do you want to kind of switch up the fantasy shout-outs, Rob, or you want to go ahead and go top five? Because we got about 5 minutes here, and I know we got about 3 minutes, and then we'll get ready for the OT portion. So do you think we want to fit the fantasy shout-outs in here? Really quickly.
He does. You want me to do the fantasy shout-outs first?
Let's
do
that, man.
Fine.
Yeah,
do. All right.
You know he wants
talking
to.
Talking sports with the 12th man. We got four fantasy football leagues. Let's talk about league number one. The biggest win of the week was yours truly, my team, Black and Gold, 178.46, beat the Bristol Bombers to 107.5, and also my team is in first place in that league with a 5-0 record. League number two, EP Diablos, Willie from El Paso, Texas, had the biggest win of the week with a 143.08 to 68.50 win over the Black and Gold Patrol. And my co-host Andre's team is in first place in that league. Playoffs, 5-0 in league number
two. You got to say it right.
League number three, yours truly again, my team with the biggest win of the week, Louisiana Spartans, 143.66 over L's Coalholics, 95.52. And my team as well in that league is in first place with a 5-0 record as well. League number four, biggest win of the week. My team again, Purple Knights over Baby Got Back, 120.86 to 108.82. And team in first place, Birds Flew South, Joe from Houston. His team's in first place in that league with a 4-1 record. Those are your fantasy shout-outs for the week. We just had our fantasy basketball draft earlier this evening, so we're looking forward to that. And as the NBA tips off on Tuesday night.
JQ, you got anything to say about that, bro?
No, I don't get to say anything. I ain't got no biggest wins. I ain't in the first place in no league. I don't get to say nothing, but I'm just going to make the playoffs. That's my goal.
It is playoffs.
Yeah,
it's all good.
I see you in second place in quite a few leagues, so I know you're right there.
Yeah.
I'm trying. I'm treading water.
Yeah, he's doing good. You doing? I saw you too pick up a nice little move getting up Deshaun Watson, bro. Because I kind of saw that too. I was trying to like make some moves, man. So I got my eye on you, bro.
I saw that too. I was trying to claim him too.
We were all like,
oh, Deshaun, look at JQ. Okay. I see you, bro. All right.
Hey, and I'm listening. Anybody listening that's in the league, all them leagues, I think I got Carson Palmer and Matthew Stafford and Deshaun Watson. So if you need you a quarterback, come holler at your boy.
And, Rob, this joker picked up Hopkins, too. I was like, dang, this guy right here, man. I saw him. Okay. It's all good. Try to double it up, man. So we know where you're at, bro. It's all good. All right. We got about 2 minutes and 45 seconds. I really don't want to jump to another topic because I do want to get prepared for the OT portion. So, and we'll kind of spill into that too. So, Rob, if you want to set it off too, we're definitely ahead of schedule because the last couple of weeks we've been kind of going into that. So go ahead and set us up with the OT portion and we'll finish the topics from there, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in tonight. We talked about quite a bit. We still got a lot to talk about. So if you click, obviously we can't give you the OT portion of the show live, so click on the same link on tomorrow. We still got more NFL. We still have more college football that we're going to get into. We have some big time. This is a great weekend in the NFL, so we got a lot of great games. So you want to hear our predictions for all of these great games this weekend. There's no top 25 matchups in college football, so we won't have any predictions for any games this week, but we do have a little bit of Michigan and Jim Harbaugh in our college football talk and OT portion. So our Michigan fans out there, that includes JQ. And then like I said, we have a lot of NFL that we're going to talk to, so click on the same link on tomorrow to get your NFL predictions for the weekend. Next week, we'll be back on Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. You don't want to miss us on next week. Obviously, we're just starting NBA season next week. We're going to have a lot of NFL, and I'm sure a lot of college football we're going to be getting into, so you don't want to miss our Power Pack show on next Wednesday night. Good night, people.
Good night, people. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, everybody, for tuning in and downloading the podcast tomorrow to finish listening to us talking about the NFL. I normally have something topical to throw in there or something crazy, but I honestly don't have anything this week. I haven't been going anywhere this week. I've just been at the home with the girls and working and whatnot. So I'm sorry, fans, to let you down. I don't have anything ridiculous or inflammatory to say today. So continue to listen to the show, and I promise next week I'll have something crazy for you.
Bruh, JQ, I promise it's all good. We've had an interesting past couple of weeks for the shows, man. I actually listened to the show last week. It was insane, man, to hear that. So, again, we've had enough for the past 2 weeks to cover for that as well, man. So it is all good, as they say. So, again, we thank you for always listening in. If you want, we'll go throw out the numbers next week because I want to let it kind of like die down. But fun time.
Yeah, no crack.
We'll talk to you guys soon as always. Yeah, it's just craziness. All right. As we get ready to go to the OT portion, we got about 10 seconds here. And let's go ahead and kick it off with the top five teams in the NFL. JQ, I'll let you start on this as we wrap this up. So go ahead with your top five in the NFL, sir.
Yeah, so Rob gave a good teaser there, a couple of topics before we hit the OT. I don't really think anybody can presumably say anything about those Kansas City Chiefs right now. I mean, they just are flat out rolling. A last undefeated team, quarterback is playing at MVP level. You got to put them in the number one spot. And then closely behind them, you got to put Green Bay with what Aaron Rodgers is doing. You know, just ridiculous. Mike is actually in Miami at work. He said he couldn't call in. I know he would have a lot to say about this. I know he was pretty pumped about that Dallas win, of course. Anytime you can go into Dallas and get a win, especially with those crazy Cowgirl fans, they, you know, you got to love that. The thing about it that, yeah, for me, that's a little, you know, curious right now is I feel like that's the only AFC team in Kansas City that is that I can legitimately put in that top five because, you know,
wow,
three, four, or five.
Same as my top five. Interesting.
Yeah, I feel
ahead,
like you look at – no, you're good. I feel like you got to put Carolina four. I mean, you know, they have really gone in. That's a big win against Detroit to go to 4-1. In a year, we felt like Carolina with Cam coming off the shoulder, not really going to press Atlanta in the NFC South, but, you know, Atlanta better look up and then watch out. And then you look at Carson Wentz and those Eagles. I think I will put them four. Again, just going out there and whitewashing Arizona. They went and got him some weapons. You know, Aguilar finally stepped up with Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith. And they're rotating, you know, Smallwood and LeGarrette Blount in the backfield. And Zach Ertz is just one of the most consistent tight ends right now this year. Defense is playing middle of the road, but when your offense is clicking like that, they don't always have to be locked down. So I would put them at four. And then I still think I'd give Atlanta the nod at the fifth spot. I was there for that game against Buffalo. They just didn't play well, but it's also hard to win when you lose Sanu and Julio in the first half. So I'm going to give them a bit of a mulligan. They should be able to be a little bit more healthier coming off this bye. I think they still hold down that fifth spot, but it's just, you know, when you have that five and nobody's going to jump up and say, well, what about New England? Like, you can't just throw them in there because they're not really playing that well. You see Oakland falling down with Carr being hurt. You see Tennessee falling down with Mariota being hurt. Houston losing, getting Watson, but losing Merciless and J.J. Watt. It's just rough. Ben Roethlisberger playing horrific in the last game against Jacksonville. There's just not a whole lot of AFC contention right now. But that NFC, man, whew, the way that's shaping up, that NFC playoffs is going to be something.
That's a tough. And then we talked about that, too, as far as, you know, a couple weeks ago, start of the season, I always thought Oakland would have been up there. But you see how quickly they have dropped. Marshawn looks old, losing Derek Carr, and that team is now clearly, you know, deficient. So, you know, again, it's a good
ball
call,
game,
man. Yeah. So there it is, and looks like the Yankees have pulled it off too. But and I'm curious about Arizona, guys. I don't know if they're as good as we think they are too, because you know we thought they were going to be pretty, you know, a lot better than they are. But then it just shows you again. You know, I'm not sure what the answers are, but you know, and again, I'm not saying they're like, you know, bottom feeders, but I don't think they're as good as we thought they were. what's your top five?
Star Seattle.
Wow, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I have the exact same five in the exact same order as
JQ,
and I promise to our listeners that we didn't share notes. But I have the exact same five. Obviously, the Chiefs pretty obvious at the number one position. They're the only undefeated team left in the league. They're getting it done in all three phases of the game. I mean, I tell you, what a draft move by the Chiefs, trading up in the third round to get Hunt. He's on pace. He's a, you know, we talked about Alex Smith, but he's a rookie that's also in the MVP conversation. I mean, you got two MVP candidates on that one team right now with Alex Smith and Kareem Hunt. So a phenomenal job by the Chiefs organization, finding the talent, moving up to get them in the third round. I mean, they have pass rushers on their defense. Their offensive line, we've talked about the Cowboys and the Raiders. We might have to put the Chiefs back in that conversation as having one of the best lines in the league, if not the best offensive line in the league. So they're getting it done. Big plays on special teams, Tyreek Hill. So they're getting it done in all three phases of the game. Clearly right now the best team in the National Football League. And they've had some big wins going on the road. Beat the Patriots. They beat the good. They're the only team to beat the Eagles so far this season. The Texans were playing a lot better, and they came down to Houston and got a big win as well. So they've had some pretty good wins as well in those five wins. The Packers, even though they've had some close wins, the way they've won a lot of those games, you know, it's showing clutch. I mean, they still can use some improvement on their defense, but Aaron Rodgers has been super phenomenal down the stretch in a lot of these games for them. So I have them at the number two spot. Carolina, they started off the season the first two games going 2-0. Offense was really struggling the first two games. Their defense was looking phenomenal. The Saints whipped them in week three, and it looked like they were going to go downhill from there. But the last 2 weeks, Cam Newton has gone back to his 2015 form, which is scary, the way he's played the last 2 weeks. And they beat two playoff teams on the road. Went to New England and got a win. Went to Detroit and got a win. That's impressive what the Carolina Panthers have been able to do in the last 2 weeks. And offensively, they look scary the last 2 weeks. Cam Newton has been phenomenal. Christian McCaffrey has been phenomenal. Kelvin Benjamin has been phenomenal. Ed Dixon, replacing Greg Olsen, has been playing really well. And what's the wide receiver from Michigan? His name is drawing a blank. Go ahead, JQ.
Devin Funchess.
Funchess, yeah, that's the name I was looking for. He's actually been outstanding the last couple of weeks as well. So they've been, a lot of guys have really stepped up for them in the last couple of weeks offensively. So I have them in the number three position. And number four, as we talked about, the Philadelphia Eagles, Carson Wentz, and one of our upcoming topics is some of the top quarterbacks in the league under 25 and under. You got to put Carson Wentz near the top of that list. He's been phenomenal this season as well. Offensively, they're really getting the job done. You know, you got a little concern for them tomorrow night. Lance Johnson, one of their better offensive linemen, is going to be out, probably coming off concussion protocol. So that's probably going to be a big blow to them tomorrow night. But overall this season, they have been phenomenal and look like the clear favorites to win the NFC East at the moment, although the Redskins are knocking on the door. And number five, I still have the Falcons, as much as I hate to say it. I even hate to say Carolina, too, in that three spot, too. But, you know, they're still the defending NFC champions. And obviously going to be getting Julio Jones and some new back offensively. So offensively, they're still a threat. And obviously, you know, you're going to be getting Vic Beasley here back soon as well in a few weeks.
Gotcha. Good call. Same as that for you guys. I got the same five. All right. Let's talk about the predictions here because I want to talk about Jim Harbaugh in the top five as well. Let's kick off with the Eagles at the Panthers. This is a really, really good matchup.
Ooh.
And I'll start off with you, JQ. Your thoughts about this particular game, sir?
Oh, my goodness. I honestly do not know because it's one where I feel like if you told me either one of those teams won, I wouldn't have a problem with your argument because they're both, you know, they're not top five. So when it comes to that, it may be a little rainy. I think that Carolina, with Cam being as big as he is, and Stewart, and you know, McCaffrey at the backfield, they eke out a 3-4 point win. I'm only giving them that win because they're playing in Carolina. If they were in Philadelphia, I'd probably pick the Eagles.
Yeah, this is a great game. Go ahead, Rob, your thoughts.
Yeah, I like Carolina at home as well. Like I said, you can't knock the way they played in the last couple of weeks. And like I said, there's a big chance that Lance Johnson won't clear the concussion protocol and play for the Eagles. That could be a big blow for them on that offensive line. But I think even if he was playing, this would be a really tough situation for Philadelphia to go on the road and beat a good team in a short week. You got to go with Carolina, especially the way they look, the way Cam Newton is now playing after the last 2 weeks. Carolina, much as I hate to say it, will win at home.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Packers at Vikings. Vikings are having some challenges. The quarterback who's going to start. And we talked about Aaron Rodgers. So what's your thoughts on this game, Rob?
I like the Packers to go on the road and win this game. The Vikings have been really competitive this season, have a couple of really big wins. Beating the Saints in Tampa in impressive performance and two of those wins. They squeaked out a win against the Bears team, but I don't think they're going to be able to do that even at home against Green Bay. I think Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers goes in there and win by at least 10 points on the road.
Yeah, check here.
Oh, yeah, it's real simple. You got Aaron Rodgers versus Case Keenum. Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers.
Actually, Case Keenum is playing well, bro, but, I mean, again, I just think some of those things happen, too. He's been playing decent, bro. I'm not saying he's like freaking like, you know, whatever. I'm just saying. I ain't saying all that. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to – they're going to whip some tail. But I'm just saying. Patriots at the Jets, JQ.
Yeah, this will be the – I hope the Jets throw a party and invite people over just so they can put the standings up on the wall, because this will be the last week they will be in first place in the AFC, East. The Patriots, after getting beat up, and they've got 10 days. They got that mini bye from playing last week on Thursday night. New England by 10, like Terrell said in the last one. No doubt. Again, Tom Brady versus anybody on the Jets quarterback depth chart, Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Go ahead, Rob.
Even if they put all their strengths into one body, they still wouldn't be able to win.
they can't do any merging or nothing like that. You know, they ain't gonna do no Dragon Ball Z and none of that craziness. They're a wrap.
Far
it's from
their retirement.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. Patriots going around. Jets defensively is as quiet as a cap is a really good defensive team. I mean, they got two Pro Bowlers on their defensive line, and the Patriots offensive line is really struggling. Do I think they have a chance defensively to possibly stay in this game for a while? Yes, but they just won't be able to keep up with the Patriots offensively. I mean, the Jets can't score more than 17 points against any team in the league. And you're going to need at least 28 to compete with this Patriots team. And so the Patriots are going to roll and win. Although I think the Jets defensively can slow them down a little bit.
Surprisingly a good matchup. The Rams and the Jaguars, because I'm not sure which Jaguars team we're going to get. And possibly same thing about the Rams, you know. So this is an interesting game. So what are your thoughts about this, Rob? You know, Rams at the Jaguars.
I like the Jaguars at home in this one. I mean, if you look at this team defensively, they can be really good. I mean, they got a lot of first-round picks starting on that defense. Some of them have been really, you know, finally healthy, and they're playing really well. They're playing a good balanced offense. With Leonard Fournette, I'm sure they would hope that Blake Bortles will come around at some point. But I like this Jaguar team at home.
Definitely,
I think they'll slow that Rams offense down a little bit.
Bad luck with Justin Gilbert, some really talented things. Yeah, go ahead, Jake. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think this is going to be one of those games, honestly, even though the Rams are a half-line offense so far. But when you look at the struggles that Goff has had with connecting with Sammy Watkins, and you talk about the rookie Coop, but Jacksonville has a good secondary, and they proved it last week against Pittsburgh. So I think they can put those guys out there in man coverage and load that box and try to slow Todd Gurley down, who's also having a fantastic season. It comes down to I'm not really confident about either quarterback. I think they have a – if you see them have a week where they just suck, you'd be like, yeah, well, it's Jared Goff and it's Blake Bortles, so yeah, what do you want? But if we're going to say that's the equalizer, I will put the Jacksonville defense a little higher than the Rams defense right now. So I think Jacksonville wins an ugly game, 2017, a lot of punts and some foolishness, but they find a way to win at home.
Foolishness, I love it. Another intriguing matchup, you wonder how the Steelers are going to respond to the aforementioned Jaguars. At the Chiefs, and we've been pumping up the Chiefs, and the Chiefs have a trap game. What's happening with that, and what are your thoughts on this one, Rob?
I think the Chiefs keep rolling. The Steelers are struggling right now. I think the Chiefs keep it going. They go on the road and get another win. They've had some big wins on the road this season. I think they get another one. They're a better football team in all three phases of the game. Chiefs win.
Did you talk about the Rams Jaguars? Did I skip over you for that, or did you talk about that? You got yourself in there too, didn't I? Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I want to make sure I wasn't crazy. Okay, cool. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Your thoughts on the Steelers Chiefs? Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm tempted, and I hate Pittsburgh, but you know it's a lot of pride in that locker room, and they're going to be pissed off. You know what? I'm just going to do it because I'm a pick a road team. I think Pittsburgh goes into Kansas City and wins by 3 points.
Wow.
I think they find a way, because real quiet, like Marcus Peters, as great as he was last year, he's had some holes in his game this year where he's given up some big plays, and he's going to get the assignment of Antonio Brown. So when you have that, I think they just find a way to say, hey, don't put the dirt on this quite yet. We ain't done. I think I might have taken Pittsburgh against most teams this week because of what happened last week. I think they're going to have a lot of pride, and they're going to have something to say, and they're not going to go into Kansas City and get embarrassed. I think they find a way to win.
Yeah, that's actually a good pick, too, because that's one of those games where I think it's scary for the Chiefs, because Chiefs may be feeling riding high, and you should never know. I mean, eventually, you know, there's always a thing that can get you, man. So, you know, that's a really good pick, JQ. I like that a lot. All right, I do want to talk about some of the top five QBs, but I do want to get to Jim Harbaugh. We got about 2 minutes left till 12, and we'll probably spill over a little bit, and then we'll do our last topic for the top five before we wrap up. Michigan, really quickly. and I know we're going to flip back to the NFL too, but do they think, and this is for you, should I say this to Rob or JQ? I'll let Rob drop this off. Do they have unreasonable expectations for Jim Harbaugh, Rob, is the question. Stay tuned, JQ.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, you hired Jim Harbaugh for one reason, and one reason only. Well, a few reasons. You hired him to rebuild that Michigan football program. Has he mostly done that? Absolutely, yes. But you also hired him to come in there and help you win Big Ten championships and compete for a national championship, and they haven't done that yet. So, I mean, that's the reason why you make that hire. And so, I mean, that's you have to have high expectations if you're going to bring in a coach of that caliber and pay him that kind of money. So, absolutely, the Michigan fan base should be expecting those kind of returns. And, I mean, I don't think – I know the next topic is whether he's overrated. I don't think Harbaugh is an overrated coach. They just have had some bad breaks. No pun intended, of course, with the situation with the quarterback, Wilton Spate, who's going to be out for the season for the Michigan Wolverines. When you look at the amount of talent that they lost in the NFL from last year's roster, and, you know, they came out looking like they were going to be a contender this season, but it looked like they're going to fall back to the, you know, near the top of the Big Ten, but I don't think they'll win the Big Ten. So, I mean, the fans have every right, based on a hire, that he should be having that organization competing for a Big Ten title and a national championship yet. So they should definitely hold him to a higher standard for making that hire.
Go ahead, JQ.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. And you talk about 1-4. He's 1-4 against Michigan State and Ohio State. Because I would argue, only thing I agree mostly with Rob, but I would say it's almost a 1A, 1B. You know, the Loserines are a national brand, and I need them to be good for the Big Ten to be good, but they're a national brand. So when you're a national brand and you hire a high-profile coach, you expect that high-profile coach to make sure that you're in contention every year. But you can't be in contention if you can't beat Ohio State and you can't beat Michigan State. So that 1-4 looms very large because you've got to go through them to win that part of the division to even get to the Big Ten title game. So, I mean, he's I think he was not – I don't know where he is in terms of his rating. I don't know how focused he is. And we talked about some weeks ago, is he taking overtures behind the scenes from NFL teams, how Indianapolis is looking at you. Like, is that taking away some of his focus? I don't know that. But I don't see him coaching the same way I feel like he coached at San Francisco and coached at Stanford. You know what I mean? I just don't feel like his level of attention to detail and his play calling has been as well – as good as it's been in the past. So I think the fans should expect that. I mean, because they're them, and they feel like they should have a chance at it because you only have so many national brands in college football. There may be like 10 to 15 of them, and they're one of them. So if you're a fan, yeah, you expect that. But when you can't beat your rivals that are in your part of the division, in your conference, then you can't get to those other stepping stones that, you know, Rob talked about, a Big Ten championship and then making or getting a berth into the, you know, to the playoffs. You can't do that if you can't beat those people. So that's what exacerbates it. If he was beating Ohio State and Michigan State, and they stubbed their toe against a Wisconsin or Iowa or Penn State, those fans could fall back on, we're beating our rivals. If we can clean up those, you know, toe stubs against other teams, we feel like we're there. But when you can't get through your rivals to get to that point, that just exacerbates the problem.
Yeah. Very well-educated response to that, JQ, because from a fan perspective, coming from Ohio State, the fact that you appreciate that you want Michigan to be good, even though you hate that squad, that's a great.
The win has to mean something,
answer,
right?
Man.
Like, if they suck, then that win doesn't mean anything. When Alabama's playing Auburn, they win a big game, it means something. They hate those school, you know, those two, but then it means something. So when you have those rival weekends at the end, if your rival isn't any good, then that win doesn't do anything for you for your resume. You know what I mean? Like, you got to be able to beat your rival to only not only for just bragging rights, but to boost your resume.
Yeah, but beat them, like I said, you want them to be good because it makes you look good too. So that's, I said, a really good answer to that. And, you know, we can be like, oh, I hate that squad, but that was a very well put answer as well too. All right, let's wrap this up here. Let's talk about really quickly the top five QBs in the league that are 25 and under. I'll let you kick this off, Rob. JQ, stay tuned, and we'll wrap this up. Go ahead, Rob.
Okay.
Well, obviously, for me, based on the level that they're playing right now, in no particular order, I'm going to go with Carson Wentz. He's right up there the way he's playing, the way he's got that team playing as well, with a 4-1 record. Obviously, when you look at this year's draft, Deshaun Watson has been phenomenal for the Houston Texans, especially here in the last few weeks. So you have to include him in that number as well. You still got to be impressed with the way Dak Prescott is playing. Offensively, the Cowboys are still moving the ball. He's a big part of that. Has he made a few mistakes this season? Absolutely. But leading that team to 13-3 record on last season. And offensively, for the most part, hasn't been their problem this season. And so you have to give him some credit as well for being in that number. Jared Goff, another guy who's really improved his game. Goff and Wentz were the 1 and 2 picks in last year's draft. And he's really stepped it up this season. He's only 22 years of age as well, so still a lot of room, a lot of potential for him to grow. And another guy, you know, wasn't drafted very highly, but is getting the job done in Denver is Trevor Siemian as well. So he would fall under that 25 and under bracket.
Wow.
And the guy who, possibly, a guy who can possibly climb his way into that mix, but he's only started one game, is Mitch Trubisky. So right now, I'll kind of have him on the outside looking in, maybe at the sixth spot. But those are my five in no particular order.
Wait a minute, man. Are you going to leave Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston out of that?
Uh-oh.
Man.
Come on now.
Uh-oh.
Come on. So
Mariota can't stay healthy.
I'm going to put those two in, and I'm going to agree with you on Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson and – I forgot the other one. Carson Wentz, Deshaun Watson. Who else did you say? The last ones I didn't agree with. I got, because I got to put Mariota and I got to put Winston in there. I got you with Winston and
Jared Goff.
Deshaun Watson, not Jared Goff. the reason why I say that, when I see Jared Goff and I see Trubisky, dude, I see flashes. I do see flashes from them. But when I talk about an it factor, that's what I mean. I feel like Carson Wentz has an it factor. I think Deshaun Watson has an it factor. I think Winston has an it factor if he would just calm down. He just gets too amped up, you know, and he starts going nuts. I think Marcus Mariota has an it factor. Like, I think those guys have it when I see them. Like, you know what, those guys are going to be them. I don't think Siemian has an it factor. I don't think Trubisky has an it factor. I don't think Jared Goff has an it factor. I mean, I think they be serviceable quarterbacks. I think they can be serviceable quarterbacks, but if I'm going to put them in the top five, 125, I just can't do it. I can't put them there. They're on the outside looking in. I need some more for them. I think for them not having the it factor, I need a bigger sample size for them to move them closer to that line and say they may not have the it factor, but they just know how to manage the game and get the things done. You know what I mean? As opposed to guys that have an it factor, you feel like you can give them a longer leash because you just look at them and they just jump off the page that you like. That dude is finna be the guy, and you just really can't dispute that he's going to be the guy. You know what I'm saying? That's just where I am with that piece of it. Those are the guys I'm talking about are bad, but they just don't jump off and give me that thing like, man, I'm going to deal with this dude for 10 or 12 years, and it's going to be a problem. You know, I don't get that feeling from them.
Wow. All right. Fair enough. No, that's a good call. I mean, like I said, I'm kind of in the middle of both of you guys, too. I mean, I like the Jameis Winston pick. I definitely like Mariota, even though he's getting hurt a lot too. But it's
Mariota can't stay healthy.
You know, I know he can't stay healthy. It's one of those things, man. It's just, again, wow.
No, Dak is what I'm talking about. Dak is definitely in there.
Yeah, Dak is definitely in there too. Yeah, so good call as well too. But like we always talk about, you know, and hopefully coming up soon, we'll have a show where we're going to talk about some teams that need quarterbacks too and where they are too, because. Amazing that Andrew Luck is not in that as well because you know, again, that's very shocking, you know, about that too. But you know, I don't know. We'll talk about that. Arizona and we're going to teams are going to target some quarterbacks. But before I wrap this up.
Sorry, before you go ahead. Though, because you brought that up. Before you go, and I don't want to hold us too long. I mean, I know he didn't really do what he should have done against San Francisco, but do you think Jacoby Brissett is really making it hard on Andrew Luck right now? Because, I mean, he's winning games, and they traded for him, and he's come in a short – you got to remember, he's winning games in a short time in a new offense with all new skill players and doing that. And you're looking at Luck, and he was the savior, and we've talked about it before, how he was under the most pressure coming into the season. Like, Do you think Brissett? Do you think they'll let Brissett actually have an open competition with him and maybe take that job? Because I feel like he could if they honestly said, okay, we traded for Brissett, he's winning games, Andrew Luck is getting healthy, he's trying to, but do we just take Brissett out as he's winning games? And now we see Houston still with a good Deshaun Watson, but that defense taking a step back. Tennessee not being who they thought they would be. Jacksonville taking a step forward, but you still got to feel like you have a chance if some other things work out and Brissett continues on an ascension in terms of learning that offense and getting some kind of chemistry with those guys. I mean, I know it's crazy to say out loud, but I don't know. I just don't know. I think if you're being honest, it's gonna be, can you lose the locker room if you just automatically pull Brissett and put Luck in right now with, if he continues to win games until Luck gets back?
Yeah, Luck is always the guy. I think it makes it easy for Indiana to, like, rest Luck. That's what I think. I really think the fact that they don't have to push him back as quickly. So that's what I think. I think it's still Luck's team to lose, if you will. But for me. They're like, okay, we don't have to rush him because, again, you traded for him. But you know this is Luck's job eventually. So that's my thought.
I'm just asking
the
question.
That's a great question, too. But that's what I think, you know. But – you know, again,
well,
yeah, Luck hasn't.
I think this deal, are they
going
to give Luck an opportunity? I believe so. They're definitely going to give Luck the opportunity to come back and win that job. But you know, if he can't get it done, then you got to give Jacoby a look. But obviously, Luck has somewhat of a track record. He's the guy that they picked out to be the franchise quarterback for the future. So they are definitely going to give him an opportunity to get that job back, and I'm assuming should be here sometime in the next few weeks. We'll see what he's made of. But at some point, you got to be, even if you're the Colts, are you better off sitting Luck for the rest of the season, you know, to get him healthy? So that's a serious question. They actually help too as an organization.
Great question.
But even
that's
getting healthy. But Brissett continues to win games or keep them in games and gets rid of the ball and doesn't get himself hurt and have turnovers where we've seen Luck hold the ball too long. And I hear what you're saying because you made that decision to make him your franchise quarterback. But you also got to take into consideration that locker room too. And if this guy has come in and he's getting, and you can't say he's the reason we're losing games, he's the reason we're even in this game because maybe the defense does something stupid or a blocked field goal or a punt return or whatever reason they may lose the game, but it's not Brissett losing that game. Do you take a chance of fracturing that locker room like, oh, here they come with the savior? Why would you take him out when this dude is still giving us a really good chance to win? And so you can kind of disguise it in terms of keeping him healthy. Boy, I wish I would like to be a fly on the wall to some of those conversations. Like, this Brissett dude is actually playing well, and he doesn't even really know the offense yet. What happens when if we let him play 6 weeks continuous with a T.Y. Hilton and the old wide receivers we have? Like, does he make us marginally better than what Andrew Luck has been doing? Because we saw what Luck has been doing. It's not been a whole lot in terms of getting us to the promised land.
Yeah.
I wonder. I hear you. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think politics is going to take it because you draft him that early. You can say he's been starstruck with injuries and that and the other, and you're going to give him that chance. But I just wonder in terms of those people in the locker room, like, oh, here we go again. The dude's playing well, and they're going to take him out for him. What has he done to warrant just – automatically removing the guy that's playing well? I just wonder about that in terms of the chemistry of a locker room.
Yeah, good call. It's a great question, bro. I agree, and thanks for bringing it up too. So we'll keep an eye on that too. I think it only lets the Colts so they don't have to rush back Luck, and they can kind of keep him in there too. But again, the season's been crazy. Who knows what's going to happen? So Rob is on point. This is your guy, but you know, nah. Wow, toughness. All right, gentlemen, let's wrap up this edition of Talking Sports 12 Men. Rob, do your thing, bro. Yeah, it's all good. That was perfect.
Ladies and gentlemen, next week you don't want to miss us. We're going to have another power-packed show full of football, NFL, college. We'll sneak in a little NBA as the season tips off. You don't want to miss us next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Pacific. Tune in next Wednesday night. Good night, people.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all for staying with us. And I'm sorry, but Drake just tickled a thought that I had in my mind when I was already thinking about the whole Luck Brissett thing. And not for any hate for Luck, because I don't hate him. Just a wondering of, you know, how long can you stay with the anointed saver if he's not getting it done. So appreciate you guys for hanging with us. Hopefully, you know, you can hit us up on Twitter and call in next week and tell us what you think about it as well. because I would love to hear some reaction from you guys, just some, you know, objective kind of reasoning. Holler at you next week. Hope you guys have a good weekend.
There it is. Till the next time, a lot of love. Way to hold it down. We are here, and that's what we do. So, gentlemen, thank you for sharing the field of battle with you, and as always, we will see you guys same time next week. Peace. Good night, people.
Yes, sir. Good show.